When Jordan Peele's Get Out premiered in 2017, it wasn't just another horror film. It was a cultural revelation exposing the cannibalistic nature of white supremacy. This is the foundation of AFCO's groundbreaking work, Racism as Zoological Witchcraft, which offers a revolutionary framework for understanding how racism and animal oppression function as dimensions of the same structure. Co doesn't just challenge how we think about race and animals, she dismantles the very categories that have kept these conversations separate, revealing how white supremacy operates as a consumption machine that metabolizes both human and non-human bodies deemed animal. For decades, Black liberation and animal rights movements have existed in seemingly perpetual conflict. The mainstream narrative suggests this tension exists because Black people are focused on securing human rights, making animal concerns seem offensive or secondary. This divide is reinforced by animal rights groups creating insensitive campaigns that appropriate Black struggles and white-dominated vegan spaces that feel unwelcoming to people of color. Black people have a particularly complicated relationship with animals due to a colonial history that has perpetuated dehumanizing associations between Blackness and animality. When celebrities declare they'll wear fur every day until police stop killing Black people, they reflect a common but flawed perception that Americans care more about animals than Black lives. Our cultural setup forces marginalized groups to compete as though only one group can achieve liberation at a time. Rather than being simply anti-speciest, we need to examine how the concept of animal informs racism itself. To understand racism's core, we must examine the link between race and animality. When someone is classified as animal or subhuman, their degradation becomes justified. They're deemed savage without autonomy, reduced to impulse rather than intellect. This animalization makes bodies consumable, which Black people recognize when asserting their humanity and rights movements. The relationship is reciprocal. Racial oppression connects to animality, and animal oppression connects to race. As Co notes, "I didn't bring animals into race. White supremacy did." Historical classification systems reveal how white supremacy uses zoological concepts to maintain power. Animal isn't merely a species designation, but a label created to mark bodies as disposable, measured against the white human standard. White supremacy's most disturbing aspect is its systematic consumption of oppressed bodies. The Delectable Negro by Vincent Woodard documents the literal consumption of Black bodies during slavery. After Nat Turner's execution, his body was dismembered, with parts turned into items like purses and medicines, a practice whose legacy persists, as confirmed by a New York Times investigation. This cannibalistic violence terrified enslaved communities. Aluda Equiano described white overseers as human butchers, forcing slaves to consume parts of other tortured slaves. Such physical violence was only possible because Black people were first conceptually stripped of their humanity. Popular culture illuminates complex theory through familiar imagery. In Santa Clarita Diet, a white supremacist's home features taxidermied animals, with mounted heads creating visual parallels between hunting trophies and racial violence. Taxidermy symbolizes dominance, courage, triumph over the untamed, and eventual victory of patriarchal values. This symbolism extends through hunting shows and social media. In modern Western contexts, a specific visual language, camouflage clothing, hunting imagery, and mounted animal heads forms a recognizable uniform, signaling particular political and racial ideologies. Jordan Peele's Get Out uses mounted deer heads during scenes of racial tension to emphasize these cultural associations. The Bachelor franchise demonstrates these racial dynamics. The show waited until 2021 for its first non-white male bachelor and faced a 2012 discrimination lawsuit. Following Rachel Lindsay's historic role as first Black bachelorette, the return to white bachelor Ari Luyendeck Jr. and a predominantly white cast reflected broader patterns of racial backlash in America. During Ari season, contestant Kendall Long's quirky taxidermy hobby culminated in a hometown date where they stuffed rats in wedding attire for a mock bachelor rose ceremony. This seemingly innocent activity carried deeper meaning within the show's framework of segregated romance, with the taxidermied animals serving as props for white fantasies, a form of zoological ventriloquism. Following the first Black Bachelorette season, producers filled Ari's season with markers of whiteness, from predominantly blonde contestants to taxidermy dates, reassuring viewers of the show's return to whiteness. This exemplifies Stuart Hall's concept of inferential racism, naturalized representations built on hidden racist premises. This white supremacist zoological witchcraft involves the physical and conceptual consumption of minoritized people, whose bodies are stuffed with imposed definitions while rendering their consciousness extinct. The practice found its most horrific expression in lynching rituals, where victims' body parts became souvenirs. As one Black Mississippian observed in the 1930s, "We was always in season," reflecting how Black bodies were treated as perpetually available for white consumption. Co challenges the idea of intersecting Black Lives Matter with animal rights movements, arguing both have limited understandings of oppression. She critiques social layerism, where oppressions are stacked without meaningful connection, using a classroom analogy to show how removing barriers without revising foundations creates confusion. She demonstrates how intersectionality falls short, noting that racism itself is sexual violence, not merely intersecting with it. Drawing from decolonial scholars, Co shows how race and gender constitute rather than intersect with each other. She rejects labeling Black men as privileged, distinguishing between privilege, requiring institutional power, and residual benefits. Using the film Contact as metaphor, Co advocates replacing intersectional thinking with multidimensional understanding. Just as the alien message required three dimensions to decode, oppression demands similar depth of analysis. Rather than viewing oppressions as separate houses of race, gender, and class, she urges seeing them as interconnected dimensions of one structure. This shift reveals multiple entry points for dismantling oppressive systems beyond the front door approach of addressing individual actors. Co argues that theory is as vital as physical activism. Comparing social theory to fractal geometry, both reveal hidden patterns that can transform our understanding. Like fractals illuminating nature's complexity, theoretical frameworks expose concealed systems of oppression and provide tools for dismantling them. Academic discourse becomes a form of resistance against entrenched power structures. Animal liberation and racial liberation are inseparable, linked through decolonial Black epistemic frameworks that help escape the sunken place of white supremacy's zoological witchcraft, a metaphor for the paralysis where consciousness exists but agency is stripped away. White supremacy's consumption of both human and non-human bodies reveals how the animal category itself is a racial construct maintaining power hierarchies. This insight demands more than simply adding animals to anti-racist work or race to animal rights. It requires reimagining liberation entirely. The solution lies in recognizing that confronting animality is fundamental to dismantling white supremacy. Through Afrozoological resistance and multidimensional thinking, we can break free from the zoological witchcraft that has historically divided and conquered both human and non-human bodies.